And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is What's Next? Each of my guests is previewing what's next in his field, whether it's local journalism, social media, or typography. My next guest is a serial entrepreneur. He's a former consultant at a Big Four consulting firm, and he's an expert on social media. We'll discuss the future of social media and how to capitalize on it. And if you have a question or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Randall Craig has founded several successful startups, including Pine Tree Advisors, the company he currently leads. He has held a long-time position at a Big Four consulting firm and was an executive at an American publicly traded company. Randall has been advising on web strategy since 1994, and he put the Toronto Star online and the Globe and Mail's Global Investor / Global Fund, several financial institutions, and about 100 other major organizations. He lectures at the Schluditch School of Business and has a column on Monster and is the host of Professionally Speaking TV. Randall's the author of 6 books, including Online PR and Social Media Series and the Social Media for Business book. He's appeared on numerous TV and radio shows, and he's been profiled in all the national media. Interestingly enough, Randall holds a black belt in karate, so you better listen to what he has to say. Welcome to the show, Randall. How are you today?
Bill, I was wondering if you'd say welcome to the show. Wow, what a background. Who the heck is that?
Well, it's only you, and all I'm doing is just summarizing your career to date. It has been an impressive career, no doubt about it. And you are one of the respected people in the social media field. So thank you for being my guest and my subject matter expert today. You know, a lot of people are preaching about social media today and how it's used, and that even includes you. But what I like about what you is that you gaze into the future and you can look at what social media is going to be. So let's start with kind of a summary of where we are today with social media. How are companies using social media? And of those that are using it, who's using it successfully?
Oh, that's a huge number of questions. So let me try and take them one at a time. You know, how are people using it today? I think most of our listeners today know all about LinkedIn. They know all about Facebook and Twitter. Some of them have blogs as individuals, as organizations. I think really what we're finding right now is that there's been a lot of rangers and scouts out there and organizations where they've been experimenting on how to use these things one way or the other. And I think right now we're at the point where certainly with our clients, we can say the age of experimentation is done. The age of experimentation is over, and there's some best practices on what to do. And you know what? You don't have to do it all yourself. You can use some of these best practices to actually make a difference. So we're seeing a lot of consolidation of what are some of the basic things you should do, and what are some of the more strategic things that you should do.
All right. So give us an idea. What are some of those things?
Well, you know, the obvious is to make sure that you're out there. A great way to think of social media is to use what we call it a three-step model, where organizations go from passive to broadcast to engagement. And really the first thing is to make sure that the passive stuff that you've got is actually up there. So, for example, many executives and entrepreneurs know all about LinkedIn, and they put together a profile for themselves. But you know what? It's possible to have a free profile for your organization on LinkedIn where you can put all kinds of information in it. It actually is free. Making sure, for example, that you capture a decent Twitter name for your organization. So if people want to reach out, or if you want to reach out using Twitter, that you can do that. There's a Facebook fan page for your business, so that way if people are looking for you on Facebook, they will actually find you. So those are the passive kind of foundational first stage things that the business should do, and many have done it, but perhaps not fully. And then it's a question of going into a bit of a broadcast mode. Gee, they've got a newsletter already. They should put it up on social media. You can automate a lot of that, and that improves productivity. You've got a newsletter. Gee, you're now going to make a blog. Okay, so you have the same content in there. And the idea is to broadcast everything out just using these new channels. And really the third level, and this is, you know, getting into, well, what's next, is movement from broadcast to engagement. So So rather than just being a shout-out to everybody, it's a back and forth between you and prospective customers and your current group and past employees and the media and whoever else that is one of your stakeholders. And not just back and forth, also amongst the community that you're starting to create. This is something that's critical if people want to actually get a return on their social media investment.
Well, now that is interesting, because having engagement amongst the other people in your community is both a very exciting and also frightening thing for many business owners. Most business people, whether they're large companies or small companies, are fearful of what one customer might say to another customer. How do you allay those fears?
Well, first of all, people have been talking about your business forever. And in fact, if you ask, what's the definition of a brand? In fact, a great one is what people are saying about you behind your back. It's just with social media, for the very first time, you've got an ear so you can hear it firsthand. And you know what? Sometimes the truth hurts. But if it's a choice of pretending that there is no discussion versus being a participant in that discussion, it's completely different. All of a sudden, if somebody says something out there, and you've got your ear to the ground, and what they say isn't particularly complimentary, for the first time, you're going to be able to say something about it, to influence the attitudes and mindset of the folks who made the nasty comment or the truthful comment, but something that you don't want.
All right. My guest is Randall Craig. We're talking about the future of social media. Randall, I'm going to throw one at you that was out of the news from the year 2010, and that was the BP oil spill. When the BP oil spill happened, there was a lot of chatter, not only over the airwaves in general on the Internet, but also on BP's own sites about what was going on. A lot of very upset, a lot of very angry people. Talk to us about a case history. What did BP do right or what did BP do wrong in the case of their social media presence after the oil spill in 2010?
Oh, boy. You know something? The whole area of crisis management and PR has been thrown for a total loop, because it's not just, for example, a corporate spokesperson that says something and a small number of media outlets who can choose to broadcast that or not one way or the other. Instead, you know, it's a many-to-many communication. And while I can't say very specifically this is what BP did right and this is what BP did wrong, I can talk generally about a couple things that they should have done. And it was very hard for them to do so because they were so mired in it. Number one is the idea of doing some pre-planning. You know, any large organization has a crisis plan in place, but if it doesn't completely address, have it in place for this kind of thing, and that includes social media, they've missed the boat, because the buzz out there will kill you. They had to tell their side of the story, and using social media would have been a great way of doing so. Same thing with mobilizing allies. What happened with BP was just absolutely terrible. It was a tragedy on so many different dimensions. And because on each of these dimensions there is an audience that needs to be engaged, if they're not doing that, if they're just doing this broadcast mode thing, they've missed the opportunity. So engaging in the conversation, and this isn't just the official spokesperson, but how many tens of thousands of people, good people, work at BP, some of whom were horrified by what happened? BP needed to find a way to have every single one of their employees be their army of information providers and everything. They had to engage their employee groups and their stakeholders, their suppliers, their customers, to say, we need some help here. And they really did need some help, rather than just trying to do the official thing from the top.
All right. My guest is Randall Craig, and we're talking about the future of social media. And really, we're going through his three steps, going from passive to broadcasting, and then finally to the third step of engagement, which is the future of social media. So, Randall, take us through it. How does the company make the transition from broadcasting its newsletter, broadcasting its blog, to actually engaging customers?
Well, first of all, you have to know what the customer wants and the prospective customer wants, right? If they're looking for support, it's just not a matter of sending an email in and doing it out. But so putting it on the form, whether it's your own social media site, blog, comments, et cetera, or whether it's a public one like a LinkedIn or Facebook or one of the various other ones out there. So that's one thing, making sure that you actually have a seat at the table. Number two is, instead of just sending a newsletter out that sort of says, here's some information, you could always end it with a question. What do you think? Has this been your experience? Do you have any other ideas that could make it better? Or alternatives that you think would do, you know, a different thing? So to start to ask the question and making sure that you're resourced up so that you're able to respond to some of that, you know, enjoying the immediacy of Twitter so that you start to develop some of those relationships. I had an awful banking experience online for whatever reason. Everyone likes web banking, but I couldn't get in. So I tweeted about my frustration. Within 5 minutes, I had a response back from that particular banking institution saying, we're very sorry about that. Here's my phone number. Give me a call. Let's see what we can do.
Wow.
This is engagement. But Bill, you know, you talked about trends and what's next. I'd like to take one thing on though, beyond the issue of engagement.
Because sure.
Sometimes in some organizations and some consultants too, will say if you just sprinkle some social media juice into on top of whatever that you're cooking, everything will be perfect. And one of the huge trends and one of the things we're seeing a lot of right now is focus on the area of risk. You know, what if something goes wrong? How do you mitigate the risk? What kind of risks actually are there? And how do you bake in some of these mitigation activities into whatever you're doing, both at an organizational level and for us as individuals?
All right. Now, what do you mean by that, if you will, Randall? You focus on the risk. What happens if something goes wrong? Is that a question that every business needs to be asking itself, or is that a question that you need to ask about your social media strategy?
Well, first of all, you have to ask that about the business as a whole. But sometimes people think that social media is different. Because there's lots of activity in social media, a lot of bad people are realizing that this is a good tool for them as well. And if I can give just an individual example,
sure.
You know, viewers and listeners may resonate with it more. You know how banks and other financial institutions authenticate who you are. They'll ask you a bunch of questions. They'll ask you what your address is. They'll ask you maybe your birth date, maybe your mother's maiden name. But a lot of people put that information actually in their Facebook profile. You could figure out the maiden name just by looking often at the friend list. Often people explicitly put their birthday down, maybe not the year, but you could usually figure that out based on when they graduated, which is available usually in LinkedIn. Right? And it goes on and on and on and on. So there's a lot of folks who are using the information that we willingly give up in the social media world to cause us real problems, particularly in the area of identity theft in the real world. And where organizations have to watch out is if you're asking those standard type of authentication questions, how do you know that the person at the other end of the phone just hasn't grabbed that information off of one of your customers' social media pages?
Very interesting question, and I'm glad you brought it up because that allows me to give a shameless plug for tomorrow's show. We've got Mary Camacho is going to be coming on talking about using Google and using the internet anonymously. So we'll be talking about that whole issue of cybersecurity tomorrow with Mary. So very valid point that you brought up, Randall. So talking now, let's get back to your point, though, about the next steps of social media. So focus on the risk. What if something goes wrong? You have to do that on a corporate basis. What are the risks if something goes wrong with your social media strategy?
Well, you know what? What's the opposite of engagement? It's disengagement. You know, all of a sudden, you know, there's always these viral videos where people say, boy, that's really interesting. This person can dance a jig on his head. Well, who cares about that? But what if the thing that goes viral is something that actually is not good about your organization? What if, for example, there's a groundswell of grassroots movement against something that is critically important for your organization to survive? Or you do a new product pitch, for example, a new product release, and all of a sudden everyone's talking about how bad it is, right?
Yeah.
So you know, that's one thing. What if you do something and nobody shows up? It's a ghost town. So the idea of doing something in social media exclusively and not having it tied in to what's happening in the real world is actually very, very important.
All right. My guest is Randall Craig. We're talking about the future of social media. And Randall, in all of your discussion, you've mentioned LinkedIn, you've mentioned Facebook, Twitter. You have not mentioned video and YouTube in particular. What's the role of video in social media marketing for the future, do you think?
Interesting observation. It's absolutely the future. And in fact, in 2010, Cisco statistics say over 51% of the packets, those little bits and bytes, that go over the internet are actually video packets.
Wow.
And that's going up much higher than I think 2014 it's going to be like, 80 or 90%. Just ridiculous. Why? Because people don't just like to read, they like to actually interact with pictures. There are 24 and 48 hours of video uploaded to YouTube every minute. So the question of what you're doing in video for your organization is huge. ProfessionallySpeakingTV.com, for 3 years, I've been interviewing people in video, and there's tens of thousands of people to watch it. There are millions of videos on YouTube, on Vimeo, Vodpod, Blip, all these video sites, and the idea of letting people see, or the idea of letting organizations use video to support their product or to help sell their product is absolutely huge. Because video allows you as an individual not to be there and let prospective clients self-select.
Oh, that is great. So the future is definitely video. That is a trend that we're starting to see. My guest is Randall Craig. He is an expert on social media. We've been talking about the future of social media. Randall, just in quickly, what do you want people to take away about the current state of social media so that they can be prepared for the future?
It's very, very clear. There's only one place you're living, and there's only one of you. The idea of congruity between what you are as an individual or as an organization in the social media world, as well as in the real world, we're seeing that convergence happening. And so, number one, educate yourself about it. Educate your organization. Handle it strategically. The age of experimentation is over. And finally, move to fish where the fish are. If your prospects and clients are there, you need to be there too.
All right. Sage advice. My guest has been Randall Craig. We've been talking about social media. You've made a lot of sense, Randall. If people want to learn more about you, learn more about your services, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
The best place is to go to randallcraig.com, RandallCraig.com. There's hundreds of free tip sheets on social media strategy and useful things you can use on that particular site. My contact information is there, too.
All right, randallcraig.com. Randall, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.